First Corinthians chapter 12, we're continuing our series of defining doctrines, and last week we went through the basics on the Holy Spirit, who He was, what it means for Him to indwell us and fill us, and of course there's so much involved in that we couldn't complete it all in one message, and really even what I'm dealing with this evening is going to be just kind of touching on some different points. But we want to get an idea of it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And that is where we are going to begin. We're going to be speaking about spiritual gifts this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing us all here safely. And we just pray that you would bless as we look in your word. Help us to understand this idea of the spiritual gifts that you have given to each one of us, Lord, and we just pray that you would help us to use them to the edification of each other, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And we see where Paul says that it concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. That someone made the statement, I don't know who it was, but that ignorance is bliss. But I don't really think that that's something that you can say in terms of spiritual things, that it is not a good thing to be ignorant of the truth of God's Word. I know there's a verse that's later on said that we are not ignorant of His devices, of Satan's devices, because we don't want that to be the case, because then he can get an advantage over us. So it is something that we want to learn about them. We want to understand them biblically, what they are and what they mean to us. And we understand, first of all, that spiritual gifts are different from the talents or abilities that we are born with physically. That we might be able to sing good, we might have a mind that's good in memorizing things, but that's something that we are born with. But gifts are something that comes when we're spiritually born again. That they're given to us by the Holy Spirit as on the moment that He indwells us as a believer. And we see this principle in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 of Ephesians 4, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." So we understand that is something that we receive upon salvation, is something that we are to use for the Lord's glory. And we see in that is the Holy Spirit, of course, is the one that dispenses the gifts. And we understand that it is according to His will. It is not according to our will. It isn't something that you can pray to have a certain gift, or that you sort of can put a petition, "Well, I would really like to have this gift, Lord." It's the idea that we're each given a gift according to the wisdom of God. And it is according to His wisdom and according to His will. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 4, it says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." That He divides each of them. That it's something that we can't try to get one or rather than the other. We can't exchange our spiritual gift. There's no ability to do that. The Lord has made no provision for that. And we understand that the gifts that we are given are not an indication of our spirituality. It isn't something, well, you have a gift because you're spiritual. It's the understanding that everyone receives a gift. What is an indication of your spirituality is how you use that gift, however, whatever the gift might be. And so we want to realize that every believer has given some gift, and it's according to the Lord's wisdom, and we recognize that in His wisdom and His love and His justice, that He's going to give us what He knows is best for us, what He desires for us, that we don't have to worry that we got the short end of the stick by any means with the Lord. And so then we want to understand the nature and the purpose of spiritual gifts. And we want to see that there are many different gifts given throughout the Scriptures. And there are two, if you want to class them in two specific types, there were some that were given as signs that were, the purpose was to authenticate, to substantiate, and to corroborate the message of those who initiated the church, of the apostles and the prophets, the one who through whom we received the New Testament, that it was to authenticate that the Lord promised that there would be signs that would follow these that would preach His Word. We see that in Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 3 it says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will." And we see that they are given gifts, God bear them witness that they were giving out His Word. And we understand with these that in many ways they are of a temporary nature, that as we received the Word of God in its completeness, it says in Peter that we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we can trust upon it. And it's in the sense that we have that as the Holy Scriptures were being given, the Word was authenticated by these sign gifts. And then it's the understanding that we have, now that we have the Holy Scriptures, those gifts are authenticated by the signs, the practice of them, that we can see, well, does this fit with what the Scripture says? Does this fit with the pattern? Does this fit with the way that it's supposed to be managed, supposed to be regulated according to the Scriptures, that we can follow it in that way, that because we have the Word now, that it is what we use to determine whether it is of the Lord or not. And we understand as well that these were primarily as a ministry to the unbelievers, that they would see this is something different. It would get their attention. They would realize this is the work of God, that this, it was something that they couldn't deny because these things were happening. But then we also understand that there are those that are definitely permanent gifts that are given to the church, that they are given not as a ministry to those that believe not, but to those that believe. And the purpose of them is to edify, to build up, and to strengthen the church body as a whole. And these are the ones that we want to speak of specifically this evening. It'll be something that in our Sunday school lessons and in other times that we'll learn more about the sign gifts and other things. But what we want to focus on is this idea of these gifts that were given for the edification of the church. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, it says in Ephesians 4:11, it says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so we see that that gifts are given to a church, and it is for the perfecting of the saints, to help them on to maturity. It is for the work of the ministry, the saving of souls, the strengthening of believers, discipling, and it is for the edifying of the body of Christ, building it up, strengthening it, that we understand that the church is that picture of Christ operating on this earth, that Christ is in heaven, but yet the church is the visible manifestation of the Lord upon this earth. That's what it's supposed to be, that Christ is the head and we are the body, that the Lord has no hands but our hands, and we are to be used of Him to do His work on this earth. And that these gifts are given, and we understand that every member has a role to play, that it speaks in that every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That we understand that every part of the body has a function, and it needs to function properly for the body as a whole to be strengthened. That we realize that we can have so much of our body might be healthy, but if there's certain things that are not as they should be, that affects the whole body. We can have great lungs and everything, but if our heart gives out, then that ruins the whole body. It's something, even if we have an ingrown toenail that you think is not something that important, but it can affect everything, that it just makes it miserable for everything else. And so we understand that every member has a part to play, and every member, it's an important role to play. It's not something to be diminished or said, well, this is not important, that it is all important for the edification of the body. So then we want to get kind of just a rundown of some of the different gifts that we see in the Scriptures, of these permanent gifts that we see are for the edification of the church. We see in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, it says how He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And we understand, of course, that the office of the apostle, of apostleship, of the 12 disciples and of Paul, that was a temporary thing. But we understand, in a sense, that the work of an apostle is ongoing. If we understand apostle to mean one who is sent, and that's what apostle is, that a sent one. And in that sense, if we look in that way, that He gave some missionaries, if you could think of it in that term, that those who go out to some place where there isn't any gospel witness, and they go and they start a church there, that is an apostle. We think of a prophet. Of course, our thoughts of it is one that foretells the future. And we understand that was part of during the giving of the New Testament, but that is something that we don't see today. But we understand that with the prophets in the Scripture, that there is kind of a twofold part to their ministry. There was foretelling, telling the future, and then there was forthtelling, where they basically, in many ways, telling the future, but it's like, well, if you don't turn from your sins, this is going to happen to you. It's something they didn't need to really need to be told what the future would be. That was just what everyone understood, that if we sin, that there are consequences. And so it's forthtelling. And so the sense of one who is a prophet in a church is one who authoritatively proclaims God's word, that declares the truth that God uses to warn people so that they can turn to what is right. Now we see that it says it gave some evangelists, and we see that one whose gift is to preach the gospel to the unsaved, that's their their focus, to come in there and make bring people to a decision on different things in their life, that there's a purpose for that. And then we see also pastor and teacher, that one that cares for the flock, that ministers to them, that protects them, that is also something that the Lord has given, that a gift. And then we see also how it speaks of the teacher, and that's one that's able to instruct, that's able to give forth basic truths of the Scriptures, that's able to take a newborn babe and disciple them and minister them and show them through the Scriptures what they are to do. And we see another passage in which spiritual gifts are mentioned is in Romans chapter 12. That's spoken of, we see verse 7, it says, "For ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching." Now we've spoken about the gift of teaching, but then we also understand there's this gift of ministry, a gift spoken another place of the gift of helps, where we're able to minister, that it's kind of the person that's behind the scenes that makes sure that all the gears have oil and just kind of make sure everything's running smoothly. Kind of the person that mows the lawn, that makes sure the light bulbs are changed if they're burnt out. Just someone that does that. That is a gift of helps that a person is given. We see also, verse 8 says, "He that exhorteth on exhortation." And an exhorter is one who challenges, who encourages, who helps a person along. The idea of the word exhortation is to call alongside. That if someone's doing right, that you encourage them to keep going. If they're starting to wander, that they're sensitive and they call them aside and say, "Well, hey, you need to change your direction," in kind of a loving way. But someone that can give another person an impetus to make the decision that they need to and to stick with it. We see also it says, "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." That there's a gift of giving, one's ability to give of themselves, give of the resources that they have. That it's something that it isn't necessarily that they have great funds or anything like that, but just the Lord has a way of making them a channel that He can bless others. They may never have too much in the bank account, but the amount that's passed through it over the years might be incredible, and it's just how the Lord can do that. And it speaks of one that ruleth with diligence, and that's spoken in other places as governments. It's the idea of administration, of supervision, that sometimes there's a need for that where things need to be done and someone needs to be able to direct it. And so that is a gift as well. Then we see showing mercy. With cheerfulness, it's the idea of one who has the gift to minister to the needy, minister to those that are down, that are in need of just a visit of comfort and sympathy, that a person has that gift. And so we see this is a list, and by no means is this comprehensive, but it's something that we want to think of. Of these are some of the gifts that are used in the church. And, of course, always our, I think our challenge, well, which one am I? Which one do I have? And which one can I use? Well, it's something that we understand that as the quickest way to find out is to minister for the Lord, and then it becomes evident to yourself, becomes evident to those around you, that it just... As the Lord directs, as the Lord brings people together in a local body, and as He gets them working, that it becomes clear, because He's the one that's brought them in, He's the one that's directed them, given them the gift, and it just, you find your niche within a local body, and the Lord uses you for His glory. And we want to understand that the use of spiritual gifts, that is not for our use, that we do it for ourselves. It is not something that we dispense sparingly, but it's something that we're to dispense greatly. We're to make use of it. that it's not for our glory, it's for His. It's used for the edification of the Lord's church. That is what we desire to do. We desire to be used of it, that it's just a gift that God has given so that we can be used in His service. And every one of us has a role to play. It's not all the same, but every role is important. And we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it speaks of this. It says, Romans 12, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." That we understand that we don't think that we're more important or less important, that we're all members one of another, and that we're to minister to one another by the gifts that God has given us. And we see this focus that we have, that the whole point of our gifts are to be used for the edification of the church. We see this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. And with the Corinthian church, we know that they had many problems, and one of them was an abuse of the gift of tongues, a misunderstanding of it, and he had to clear that up. But it was something that the biggest problem was within the church, that there was pride, that there was divisions, that everyone wanted to kind of have their say and show how important they were. And we see 1 Corinthians 14:26, "How it is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." That kind of what is happening is it was such a disordered gathering, because everyone wanted to talk at once, everyone wanted to share things, and they might have been relevant, they might have been valuable, but it needed to be done decently in order, and it needed to be done on edification, to the building up of believers. And we see that again and again in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." That is what we are desire, that whatever our gift is, that we would excel in it to the edifying of the church. That is the focus. That we understand that whatever gifts we have, that we need to follow after charity, that we need to be guided by love, that we're there to minister and we're to use our gift to minister to other people. And so that is our focus. And we understand how it works, that as each member fulfills their role within a church, that whatever gift God has given them, that they use it as they're empowered by the Lord, that local body as a whole is strengthened, that Christ is made manifest more and more in the community, that people see that there's something different, that there's power within that church as each member does their part. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And that is a thought, that we would glorify Christ in all that we do, that we would use these gifts that God has given us. And so because we have been given this gift of the Lord, that it is something that we are to use it for His glory, and it is something that we understand that we have a responsibility, an obligation to use it for God's glory. We understand that we think of the parable of the talents and of the pounds, of how they had these ones that were given something and they used it, and the Lord blessed. Then we find the one that he had just he had the same as the other ones, but then he went and hid it because he was scared, and it was something that he was referred to as a wicked and slothful servant, whereas the others were a good and faithful servant. And so that's what we desire, to be called good and faithful, that we don't have to worry that we didn't fulfill the ministry that someone else had, because that's not what we're going to be held accountable for. We're going to be held accountable for the ministry that God has given each of us. That whatever it might be, whether it's just to be a prayer warrior within a church, whether it's just to be faithful within a church and do our part, that each of it is necessary. And so we need to realize how important it is that we minister to the Lord and to others through our gifts that the Lord has given us. And we see, as it says in 1 Timothy 4:14, that we are not to neglect the gift of God that is within us. That it is something that's precious, something that we're to use for His glory. And it says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 6 that we are to stir up the gift of God. That it's like it's there and it's ready to be used. It's like a fire that's within us, and we don't want it to grow cold and fall into disuse. We want to stir it up, to bring it up to the fore and make it used for the Lord. And that is what we desire to do, that we look at it and we say, well, even though sometimes we think, well, there's not much that I can do, sometimes we think, well, I don't have many talents, there's not much that I have to offer. Well, it's the blessing that we know that even if that were the case, and there is much that we have, we can have to offer in many ways, but it's the sense that the Holy Spirit has given us at least one thing that we do have to give, something that we have to offer that can be a blessing to our fellow believer, that can be to the glory of God. And He's given that to us in His wisdom and His love. He knows what's best for us. And He says, well, I want you to use this. And so it is up to us to do that. And as we do that, whatever it is that we don't think, well, I'm not getting noticed, well, that's not the point. It's so that He can be glorified, so that believers can be strengthened. And it's such a blessing when we get into the work of the Lord and we see things happen and we see, well, I was able to have just a small part. We know we don't take any of the glory for it because we know, well, it was the Lord that enabled me to do it. But yet we see we have a part in that, and we can rejoice when we see someone strengthened. And that as each of us does that, as each of us fulfills our role and fulfills that gift that the Lord has given us, that then the church is strengthened and God's work is strengthened within a community. And we never, sometimes it's the thing that we don't realize how important our ministry was within a church until it's not there anymore, that we realize how important a part that it was. And so may we hold to this, that we would not be ignorant of spiritual gifts, we would understand how God has gifted us, and that we would use our gifts for His glory in the time that we have on this earth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for all You have given us, Lord. You thank You for Your enablings, the gift of Your Holy Spirit that You have given according to Your will. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to be faithful, Lord, that we would be good stewards of the gift You've given us, Lord, that You would be honored and glorified, and that fellow believers would be strengthened, Lord, and that Your work might be strengthened throughout the community around us, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand and we'll turn to hymn number 332 and sing Channels Only, hymn 332.